Hey, everybody, it's Joe Barnick on Puck Off. Your fantasy football league's probably winding down right now, right? You're in the playoffs or you're probably not in the playoffs, and you're like, what am I going to do? Well, now is the time to join FanDuel.com. Don't wait till next year. Play right now and make money. Yes, you can make money playing fantasy football right on FanDuel. They've handed out millions of dollars this year already. So what are you waiting for? And you can pick a different team every week. Say your guy gets hurt last week. Boom. Pick a new guy this week. You can pick a new guy up in Sunday morning. Change it right there. And you can make money. And if it's your first time on FanDuel, click the little mic in the corner and type in the code PUCK, and they'll match you up to $200. So you put $200 in, you get $400. You put one, you get two. Boom. They're going to double your money just for listening to PUCK Off. And you're gonna play fantasy football anyway. Do it through us. It's a great deal. Think about this. FanDuel's put out $10 million every week. It's time to jump in on that. And start now, because you know your league's over. You didn't win. You can be a winner with FanDuel. Just type in the code PUCK after you hit the little microphone in the corner. And remember, it's FanDuel. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Puck Off. I'm Joe Bartnick. Our captain, Fraser Smith, is a healthy scratch this week. He's back in Detroit. Playing the comedy castle, the comedy castle there, Mark Ripley's comedy castle, yes, and with his family, and maybe he's going to be playing wing or center, or I guess they need defensemen right now for Detroit. Not right now, but I don't know. They lost four in a row, but they're still 1 point away from on top of the Atlantic, so not going to cry too hard. They've had a great season, but that's where Frazier's at. So it's me, Joe Bartnick, talking all by himself. Puck Off today for this week. Of course, we have the lovely Maria, though. So just in case things get out of hand, Maria's here on the ergonomically safe ball, which our super producer, Sean, couldn't handle the other day. So when the ball's in town, we need Maria. But that's it. Crazy, crazy week of hockey. First things first, I don't have the mumps, and neither does Frazier, so don't let those rumors start that Frazier has them. It seems like everybody else in hockey is panicking over the mumps. When Sid gets it, then everyone's a panic, and everyone's panicking in the streets, and how could the Penguins let Sid go to practice, and this is a travesty, and oh my God. Where, you know, the Penguins, I think, are the fourth or fifth team to get it. Hit Anaheim hard. Corey Perry, you know, easily MVP candidate, came down with them. And then St. Louis, I remember beginning of the season, their whole team got wiped out for a week or so. And I remember laughing at Captain Kangaroo Ken Hitchcock, like, really, the mumps? And now it's at my team. And, Sid will miss another four games. What's new? Sidney Crosby missing a few games for various reasons. I think the bigger concern is the Flower. Marc-Andre Fleury, I think, has them as we speak. So he'll be out four or five games, which stinks because we're going back. We got two back-to-backs coming up against, like, I know Florida's playing better and they're kind of hot, but I expect 4 points in Florida. And I think we get another easier team to play. And, you know, it would be nice to Fleury gather a couple more wins and get some more wins padding. And, you know, wins are wins. But apparently he has the mumps. Also with the mumps for the Penguins is Olli Maatta, but he's out anyway. Yeah, he overcame cancer, and now his shoulder's messed up again. That is really the not good news, because Flower will be back in four games. But the other issue with the mumps, I guess, is the Penguins went to Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh, which is a huge hospital in Pittsburgh and does a lot of great work, obviously, and it's their big charity event. And, you know, the kids live for that, and the Penguins are getting crap for showing up because they might give the kids mumps. Now, you know, come on. They're going to the hospital for kids. I mean, they didn't bring Sid. Sid didn't go. And the thing to always remember about that situation is that the Children's Hospital has not complained once. So, You know, they if they can deal with it, I think the national media, and I think ESPN, who, oh, my God, if, unless someone dies on the ice or Sidney Crosby gives a hospital mumps, they don't give a damn about the hockey. So ESPN, sit down, you know, take, you know, really, enough, you know. They're doing charity work, for God's sake. All right, now back to the stuff on the ice. Where should we go now? Well, let's go to Edmonton, which they fired Dallas Eakins. Well, who didn't see that coming? Well, apparently Dallas Eakins. Because he took about a four-hour press conference to explain why he got canned. How he got canned? You got 20 points. And he couldn't. And he was saying, "What a great leader, Craig McTavish." Craig McTavish is a great leader when he was playing. Craig McTavish hasn't is on. He's a terrible general manager. Kevin, we know we talked about this a lot with Bag last week, but I mean, come. I mean, please, if it's on YouTube, do yourself a favor if you're bored over the Christmas season. And you want a good laugh, watch Dallas Eakins' press conference after he gets fired. I've never seen someone, he's probably just relieved he doesn't have to go and look at that team play hockey anymore. But, you know, thanking everybody and, oh, this and that. And, oh, my God, Dallas Eakins, come on. Please. Maria, I wish you would have seen. It was really, really funny. This guy gets fired for being terrible. I mean, almost historically horrible. And then... He's in the press conference the day after. He's telling how his bosses are great people and no one wants to win more than them. And it was, if you know nothing about hockey, it was funny to see somebody kiss that much ass on the way out the door. It's like, the door is hitting you, Eakins. Step further, please. I mean, the guy's never going to see a microphone anymore. And he was one last shot for his reel. I don't know what he was doing. Now, like I say, everyone's trade bait now in Edmonton. Come get anybody except, I guess the Nugent Hopkins. They're shopping Taylor. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned with Taylor, you can have him. You know, I mean, he didn't score on that team. You know, and now I was Twittered, I guess, it was a rumor, and you know it's got to be a rumor that Luch, they're looking to go Luch. Luch is for Taylor? Are you kidding me? Is Boston really? Are you kidding me? I mean, I can't believe anybody. First of all, there's only one. I think there's only one team in the league that Luch is the top six forward on. And that's Chicago, and they've won two Stanley Cups in 4 years, you know. And Taylor Hall hasn't proven anything. What's he proven? He can get some garbage goals on a garbage team, and he has a bad attitude. I mean, to go to Boston. I mean, Boston, you had someone better than Taylor Hall. You had Tyler Seguin, and you couldn't handle his bad attitude. And now he's crushing in Dallas. They're going to bring a guy in, and then you're going to lose Luch. You know, if you lose Luch, you're not the big bad Bruins anymore. You're the medium sized guys in the middle of the pack. I mean, I don't know. If you're on drugs and you want to trade Milan Lucic, then you go ahead. But I would get more than Taylor Hall for him. I get someone that's actually, like I said, you'll never get back. I mean, barring an absolute superstar, a Getzlaff, Malkin, you know, Crosby, Taze, I mean, just another above-average forward, you're not going to get back anything better than what you have. Every team wants Lucic. No one has the power. And I know he takes nights off. Who doesn't take nights off? Well, Sid, Taze, you know, a couple guys don't take nights off. But, I mean, of the Getzlaff, I guess, of the, you know, I don't know. Well, I hope Taylor doesn't go for Luch because I'm not going to start watching Edmonton Oilers games because of Milan Luch. But I think that just might be someone might just send it. I have no idea. But goodbye, Dallas Eakins. I hope you enjoyed your last everlasting press conference. I sure enjoyed it. It's funny as hell. Another team in Western Alberta, the Calgary Flames. Have they not crashed and come back to earth? Well, what a little trip to the East Coast will do for that. Now they're in fourth place. I think when they went east, they were in first place. And oh my God, Mark Giordano is the second coming of Christ, wrapped up in Paul Coffey's skating ability, and you know, I mean, you know, and everything like that. Not his skating, but you know, whatever he was, you know, ally. Who's a good pick for Rob Blake? Oh my God, never drafted, never signed. Oh, Rob Giordano, give him the Norris Trophy. He goes, he's exposed. I watch Calgary a little bit more than usual. It's like, nah, yeah, they snuck up on people. No, they're not sneaking up on anybody. I mean, the AHL, the AHL Penguins, smacked them. So, Calgary, at least you're in the middle of the pack, I should say. And then Vancouver kind of came back to the pack. I guess we dinged. At one time, they just lost four in a row. I guess we dinged Ian Bagg. We get the curse of death. Come on, puck off. And there goes Vancouver's winning streak. But they're still in the mix. I just see Calgary sliding. Anaheim was on a good roll until they got Britain. Briz played last night. Hans Christian Andersen got hazed last night. Where the hell did they play? I got it right. I saw the highlights of that game. That's right. Toronto absolutely hazed him. Freddie Anderson getting a suntan from the red light behind him. But how about Toronto? What are they like? 10-1-1 since fan gate, or we don't salute the fans gate, or whatever happened. You know, the fan. And if anyone has a right to bitch, it's the Toronto fans, because they pay the highest value for a ticket. And we know they haven't been. I mean, other than seeing Kessel with about four rushes a game, they have not been worth the price of that admission. But now they are 10-1-1. Think about that. 10-1-1, beating a lot of good teams. And I'll tell you, I would not want to play them. They are now in the playoffs. Well, it's good for Randy Carlyle, because I think he got a bad. A lot of people hate Carlyle. He's an old Penguin, an old Norris Trophy winner from the Penguins. So we always like to see. Mr. Carlyle do good. What has changed? Well, from what I understand, if Kessel wasn't going to be a leader, I mean, you know, he's a leader on the ice, but not a vocal leader, not a man of man. And, Fanouf, whatever Fanouf's deal is, don't exactly know. Sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not mentally, or I shouldn't say that mentally. You know, he's getting a little older, maybe doesn't control the room like he used to. But I guess guys like Daniel Winnick stepped up, and, you know, Winnick is a winner. You know, he's from a solid team in Anaheim. I think he won the cup with them. And he's in there, and he's on their fourth line. But, he brings a little gravitas, if you will, to that team. You know, they didn't need the goons. They didn't need McLaren and Thornton coming out there and doing nothing but a stage fight every now and then. He's on that fourth line. He's checking. And he stood up in the room. And they got Stefan Robida, who I've always liked for years. And now he's in Toronto, and he's not injured, which is huge, because Stefan enjoys the training room as much as anybody. But he's speaking up, and it's good. It's good when Toronto's good. I'm not saying I've never seen them win the cup, but it's good when Toronto's good, because it when they're awful, it dominates hockey news around the world. It really does, because half the writers are based in Toronto, and that's who they have to cover, and that's who they have to bitch about. It's kind of like when the woes of the Yankees you have to hear everywhere around the world, and that's the way it is with Toronto. Unfortunately for Frage, two of Toronto's wins in that 10 came against his Detroit Red Wings, who've now dropped four in a row, and last week everyone was talking big Detroit. Vancouver, and Jimmy Howard's coming, a few softies here and there, but basically not scoring goals right now. Scoring comes and goes, but losing 1-0 in a shootout. I mean, they got way too much talent on that team. I'm sure Babcock contract negotiations are wearing on the team. I don't know. I don't know how you get no goals. I mean, I shouldn't say that, because watch the Penguins dry up. But speaking of drying up, the LA Kings. Kings are not officially in trouble. Not looking good. not looking good right now. We always shove it off. Like, yeah, you know, they have a switch to turn on. They can turn on a switch. Well, right now, Quickie's not playing too good. They're not. Martin Jones is not going to move above them. Their defense is not. I mean, Drew Doughty, absolute Norris Trophy. In my mind, he's a Norris Trophy winner. I mean, he's having a great season. He's playing 35 minutes a game. He's doing everything but selling hot dogs. But the rest of the guys, I mean, you know, I mean, Muzzin has not come back 100% to look as great as he was. Green's an old man. Reguer is, like I always said, you know, he's just not that good. You got McNabb. He's a kid. You know who they miss? They miss Slava Voynov. They 100% miss Slava Voynov. And unfortunately, for way more news than just hockey news, it came out this week how he really beat the crap out of his wife. I mean, it's an ugly, it's not like, I mean, it makes the Ray Rice thing look like nothing. And so he's going to jail, you know, so I, you know, he's not coming back. So they're going to have to make a trade. Now, you know, I think they have a million guys to, it's funny because, you know, you can sit here like in June and go, oh, they got four lines. They're the best team in the world. They got four lines. They're a perfect team. They don't need to move anybody. Now, it looks like there's a lot of guys that could be moved. I mean, Sutter publicly, Frey said it last week, he publicly came out against Richards. So that's never good. but, you know, that's kind of like low-hanging fruit. I mean, you're picking on Richards. I mean, Carter is scored one goal in 13 games. and then Kopitar is like one out of 14, or I may have that reversed, but basically no good. They finally last night got off to Schneid with Gabrick. He had two goals assisted by Kopitar, but they lost to St. Louis. Now, I mean, losing to St. Louis is no big deal, but the only team they beat in the Eastern road trip was Ottawa, and they just got done firing their coach. So problems with the LA Kings. I don't know who you would. I mean, you know, I mean, the beauty is they have a lot of trading pieces, you know. But, you know, the same thing happened a little later in the season last year when they just quit scoring goals. You're not going to win in this league if you're not scoring goals. I mean, I don't have to sit here and tell anybody that, but you got to score goals. Now, the two biggest surprises, you know, that I that went against my picking, I'll talk a little bit about these guys now. Out west, pretty much disgraces, if you will, Colorado and Dallas. Now let's go right to the standings. Dallas. Yes, the Lindy Ruff, the Dallas is sixth out of seven teams right now, and they're approximately 18 behind Chicago. If you think that's bad, Colorado is 7 of 7 teams, and they're an even 20 behind Chicago. Now, what happened? What's great is I saw a nice long. I guess Lindy blew a gasket, which by now he had to. I mean, he really did. I mean, I can't believe he didn't do it before, but I guess he just I don't know. But it was great, and it was great. And what he said was basically that, you know, his system, that there's selfish players on that team. Oh, who can? Yeah, Alex Hemsky's a selfish player. What? Alex Hemsky's not playing defense. What? Jason Spezza's not playing defense. What? No. Jason Spezza's not playing defense. No. And he's saying that they're supposed to come back in five-man units and play defense as a team. And when one guy doesn't come back, oh, are you trying to say me? Jason Spezza doesn't come back on defense? What? Alex Hensby doesn't play defense? Even the great Tyler Seguin may not come back on defense. He goes, then we look discombobulated. I love that word. He actually used the word discombobulated because literally every time I watch Dallas play this year, they look discombobulated. Now, I was all for the Spezza trade. I was all for acquiring Spezza. I forget if it was trade or free agency right now. I was all for getting him. Hemsky, yeah, not so much. But Spezza, I was all for. I thought they needed to up the ante with all the other centers, with every team in the West getting two centers. But then, now I guess Spezza's not playing center now. He wants to play wing on the big line. And you're paying him $5 million a year. They don't need more scoring on that line. They need you to play center on the second line. I want to play with Ben. I want to play with Sagan. And I want to, you know, be in the points mix. And I want to, you know, I don't know. But Dallas has a tough road to hoe. And one that barring a true Lindy Ruff miracle, and then you will really hear me toot the praises of Lindy Ruff. They're not going anywhere. But maybe the Tyler McDavid sweepstakes or Eichel, the second guy, or now people say they're even. Maybe it's like a Ovechkin Malkin thing where the Penguins said they would have always picked Malkin, but maybe that's revisionist news. But, you know, yeah, I mean, they're in that fight now. Except for maybe Colorado. What? Colorado is an even bigger one, I understand, because Colorado has a few better defensemen and much better goaltending. They really do. I mean, between the new kid they brought up out of the blue and Varlamov. I mean, because that's the thing in Dallas. Lettinen has been dreadful. Lettinen's been dreadful, and you can never be good when your goaltender stinks. It's an impossibility to be good when your goaltender stinks. So, you know, that's not going to happen. But what do we got here? Colorado. Looking up Denver. Look at that. Yeah, I'm still old school. I still use a magazine. Look at that. I didn't even get the guy's name. I had it written down. That's what happens when you don't have Frage to talk for a couple seconds in between me looking something up. Well, hope he's enjoying a cold one in Detroit. But we even talked about it last week, that kid, that goaltender's playing tough, and Varlamov. So, you know, I mean, whatever they're doing. But you know what, my thing with Colorado is, though, I think they have a few guys that will look really nice on different teams come if they're going to drop out. Alex Tanguay, if he wants to drink from Lord Stanley. I mean, yes, Tanguay is still playing in the league. It's like, He's still playing in Colorado. It's like you go in the time machine. It's like 1997 again, or maybe a little later than that. It's funny when you get old. It's like now 1990 is almost 20 years ago. I guess he's been playing 15, 16, maybe it was 2001. Whatever, he was playing when Joe Sakic was playing in the Avalanche for winning cups. You know, he was right there, and now he's back again. And I think he would look great on the Penguins' wing. Now, speaking of teams who are fighting their way out of the Tyler McDavid sweepstakes, the Buffalo Sabres. What the hell are you doing, Buffalo? Why are you trying? Now you won like 6 out of 8 games. Why? Why don't you want Tyler McDavid? I mean, it's stupidity. It really is stupidity. I mean, I know Teddy Nolan cannot accept losing, and I was embarrassed for you as Trottier sitting on the bench as an assistant. But, I mean, really? I mean, 6 out of 8. I mean, you're like 4 out of a playoff spot. That's just ludicrous. That is ludicrous. And then Florida. Florida's winning now, too. And, you know, why? It's like, Florida's a better team, though. I think Florida was not, I mean, I never thought Florida was as bad as Buffalo. But, you know, with Buffalo moving up, Florida could have stepped right back in to the Eichel McDavid sweepstakes. But with Bobby Lou, it's hard to lose that many games. And Bobby Lou, I don't know if anyone saw, I never thought this would ever happen. But last night against the Washington Capitals, the shootout went 20 rounds. So they went back and started up again. Isn't that ridiculous? They went back and started up again on the shootout. So everyone went around once. They didn't make the backup goalie go. And then Bustat won it for Florida. Bustat, good young player. That's the thing. Florida's got some good young players, And they got a couple old vets in there, and they got Bobby Lou. So they're a better than average team. The fact that they're in the playoff mix is kind of crazy, but that just shows how bad the bottom feeders of the East are. But, you know, but Orpik's, it was great because it wasn't like everyone missed. It was like three guys would miss, three guys would miss, and then someone would score. So then they got to score. And then, like, Orpik scored. All these guys out of the blue scored. And when it went around the second revolution, Ovi did not score. And that's when Bustad was 2 for 2. Imagine going to jacking up to shootout points in one game. And Bobby Lou looked happy. I'm happy for Bobby Lou because he totally got the shot. He got shafted in Vancouver. Don't let anybody ever forget that. Anyway, never forget. Speaking of the Florida teams, Tampa Bay saw those guys play a little bit, and John Cooper, sour grapes, Johnny. And that Penguins beat you 4. He beat him. It should have been 4-1. Bad mistake at the end. I'm going to play this for the game. They won 4-2. Penguins won 4-2. And Cooper just sour. Oh, well, we put 2 in our own net and run in and now playoffs and blah, blah, blah. It's like, John, just say it was a rough night and get on the bus. I mean, Sutter just ate Stamkos up. It was great. I'll tell you, for the first year of this podcast, I said we got the wrong Sutter. He doesn't play like Sutter. Since last year's playoffs, Brandon Sutter on the Penguins, and now he's wearing the A when everybody's sick. Incredible job. Incredible job. Sometimes he's playing Malkin center. He's a second line center now. Sometimes he's a third line center. Whatever is asked to him, he does. He's got like 4 shorthanded goals. He's playing with grit. He's got good hands. Anything I've ever said bad about him, I take back. He has played incredible hockey. Incredible hockey, as well as the Flower, incredible hockey this year. And of course, my main man, yes, the article is still, I've been literally so freaking busy with about 19 things going on. And when someone pays you to do something in this business, you got to do it. So, I'm almost done. I waited so long to put out this, Gino article. So, but anyway, Malkin, incredible. He's the league MVP. Right now, I mean, I know all my favorites are playing good. You know, Taze is playing good. Superman in Anaheim, Getzlaf's playing great. There's some other people out there. Hell, Nash, if the Rangers can move up a couple notches, Nash will probably win the MVP. Watch because he's playing in New York and he's probably leading. Got the Rocket Richard for goals, but Malkin just. The whole package. If it's a face off to win, he wins a face off. If it's sticking up for his teammates, getting in someone's face for hitting Hornquist, he's doing it. If it's the big goal, he's controlling shifts. Every shift, he's out there trying his hardest, dominating. It's like it's like his MVP season or his Conn Smythe season when he's just every shift he dominates, like old school Lemieux. Like Forsberg in the playoffs, just you don't see guys like that. Just very rarely, just dominates everything. That's what Gino is putting the Penguins on his back. It's great to see. And the other Penguin, much maligned, who's playing really well, Christopher Letang. Gotta give credit where credit is due. He's put his name. He's taking his game to another level. I think it's maturity and leadership. He's not making the dumb mistakes, and quite frankly, neither is Malkin. And that's really been the difference in this Penguins team and why they're doing so well. The Penguins, this is their best start. It's the Penguins' best start in history through the first 30 games. Now, think about that. You know, how many times Sid and Gino just went crazy at the beginning of the year, way out ahead. Think about how many times, Lemieux and those Hall of Fame teams and then all the Yogs era. It's the best start ever. For that organization, and maybe the biggest reason of all, besides all of that, is the head coach Bob Johnson, the Badger, for all you Wisconsin people. Mike Johnson, just doing. And let me, it's easy to pick on Disco, but let me tell you, I've watched every game. There's been 3 or 4 games that Dan Blausma would not have won. Just. either just Johnston understanding the situation, understanding who to put in, understanding you need to an eye for an eye, the physicality of the game, just understanding, just not like, you know, like they got a point in Columbus, and like Columbus came out their first period and wanted to take their heads off. So what did he do? He's got more. So what did John say? More and more Downey, more and more Bobby Farmer. Just boom, hit back. Change the tone. Get out of there with a point. With Disco, it would have been 5-3. No one would have cared because, you know, there would have been a bunch of power plays at the end, and Gino would have got a golden assist. And so we'd be like, oh, we lost in Columbus. And Johnson's not accepting that. So it's a whole new – the whole team just seems to be just a breath of fresh air without Disco. So, you know, we can pick on Disco all we want. And we probably still will, but it's just they're playing good. Team's not playing good in the East. your Philadelphia Flyers. Yes. I mean, you know, they got – it's funny because Reed's actually warming up a little bit. Couturier a little bit, Reed a little bit. But now it seems like, you know, the other guys have come back down. Well, you know, Giroux is normal Giroux. The other guys are coming back a little bit down to earth. And, you know, just no defense, no goaltending. It's funny because now they're actually saying, well, we're getting a good look at Lawton. When the Flyers are looking at people and they're happy with rookie, like, oh, look, he's our future. In December, that makes me very, very, very happy. It's good. I love it. The other one that's good is the Canadiens kind of put it back together. Unless Jean Beliveau is looking down on them. Galchenyuk just had the hat trick last night, so looks like they're back in order. And I think that when we were here last, that Jean Beliveau was lying in state. I think he was lying in state, like a Russian czar or whatever. So if you saw, I mean, that ceremony, the ceremony at the game with him, very emotional. If you had a dry eye, there, you're not humane. You're not a human. I mean, that was like old Yeller. That was like, and it's great. It's just great to see the old tradition in hockey. And Mrs. Beliveau, they gave her the puck. Good stuff all the way around. Good stuff all the way around. You know, it's funny. It's because, you know, the Flyers, get back to the Flyers, they're just missing Scotty Hartnell. I know he's injured for Columbus right now. And now Columbus just ran off like, 9 in a row. Bobrovsky's back on fire, you know. And I'll tell you, they look good against the Penguins. They brought all their thunder against the Penguins. The Pens squeaked out of there with a point. But, you know, I mean, people don't understand about ripping teams' hearts out. You rip out the heart and soul of that team. I mean, they ripped it out by getting rid of Hartnell for R.J. Umberger. That's like how I started this podcast, though, was the rumor was Taylor Hall for Lucic. Like, what? They're not the big bad Bruins anymore if you get rid of Lucic. I do not understand it. Speaking of Lucic, he figures prominently this week in our Goon of the Week. Yeah. Let it go another couple extra seconds for the Christmas. Love it. Anyone heard the new album? The new album's pretty good. Pretty good. I mean, they're never going to be Bon Scott era good or Back in Black or, Flick of the Switch era. I love Flick. Flick of the Switch, one of the most underrated albums of all time of any band ever. But very good. Very good. My great friend, rocker Dean Del Rey, he knows all that kind of stuff. So he explained to me that they fixed Johnson's voice on this record. So they didn't over modify it, or I don't know what the word would be, but it sounds more like his voice in real life and not a high squeaky thing. So there you go. dropping some AC/DC knowledge on Puck Off. But for the goons of the week, here we go. And I finally get to pick this week. Look at that. We have Mr. Seidenberg of the Big Bad Boston Bruins absolutely boarding Jonathan Toews. And, you know, and I didn't even know if the penalty became, you know, that's what I'm saying. That's one of those where he could have got four. That was like he could have got three games for that. It was much worse than most of the other ones I've ever seen. But no, I don't think he got anything for that. And if I'm wrong, please please send your grievances. But what I loved about Toews, like any great superstar, he stayed out for the 5-on-3. That's Lemieux, that's Jágr, that's Gretzky. Well, no one ever touched Gretzky like that, but I mean that's the epitome of superstar there. I'm a little banged up, but I'm not missing this 5-on-3. So we love that. Now, same game. Lucic, like only the great Milan Lucic can do on a power 2-on-1 rush to the. Actually, he went on about 1-on-3 by himself, but then it broke up because people just back off of Lucic. He stormed down the left side and he pushed everybody back and he fired it across for a goal. I think it went to Tory Krug, if I'm not mistaken. But Shaw's kid on the he's a big kid for Chicago. Great guy, great player. Not great player, a good player. Anyone would take on their team. He's a young kid. He's only going to get better. He absolutely buried Lucic against the boards after he made the pass. Not cheap, you know, it's tough hockey. And I'll tell you, if Shaw would have dropped the gloves right there then, he'd be the winner. Unfortunately, Mr. Shaw then was I don't know exactly what happened, but he didn't fight Lucic. Didn't fight I don't know if Lucic I don't think it was Lucic didn't want to fight him. Maybe anyway, Kelly for Boston stepped in and fought him, and you don't get points for fighting Kelly when you're Shaw. You're bigger than Shaw, and you're bigger than Kelly, and you don't get points for that. You would have easily won Goon of the Week if you would have fought Lucic, but you didn't. On one of the dirtier, nastier kind of BS things I saw this week that also makes the Goon list is Wisniewski of the Columbus Blue Jackets absolutely cross-checked Tom Wilson in the face. For no reason. And Wiz is an old man. Let me tell you something. He wants no peace. He wants no peace of Tommy Wilson. Wiz was escorted to the safety of the penalty box. But I mean, it was low down dirty. It was dirty deeds done dirt cheap. I mean, that was terrible. I did not like seeing that at all. In the tough guy format of the Goon of the Week, Shea Weber, the great Shea Weber, cut his arm on somebody's skate. I forget the guy's name whose skate it was, but he cut his arm and came back and played in that game. You know, Shea Weber is blessed, obviously, because sometimes those cuts. I mean, look what happened to Carlson. He lost his season, and he made Melnick, the owner, come out and call Cook the Cookie Monster a disgrace, and he planned it. Now, hey, we all know the Cookie Monster is a disgrace, but. He didn't plan it, but I mean, imagine Nashville. You think Nashville's losing ground now? Imagine they were out without Shea Weber, but he bounced back. They stitched him up, so thank God. But I thought that was a tough guy move. Hopefully, he doesn't get it doesn't get infected because he came in so fast. But that's a tough guy move coming in after getting your arm almost cut off by a skate. But that does not make the Goon of the Week. None of those do. Because the Goon of the Week, we will go to the captain versus captain category. Landeskog, Gabriel Landeskog, fought Mr. Ladd, captain on captain. Ladd of your Winnipeg Jets. Now I think Frazier has three teams he's looking out for. He's gonna have the whole league pretty soon. He'll be rooting for. Well, he is that way though. Frazier loves everybody. I do too, except for the Flyers. But, Landeskog versus Ladd. And Landeskog got the best of him, but Ladd showed up. And that always makes me remember some of the classic, there's a couple captain-on-captain fights. I mean, Toews has gone after Thornton. That was a good one. And then Toews went after Backes. That was a great one. That's a Midwestern charm. The old days, always captain-on-captain. You know, I mean, just the old Messier would take on anybody. And, you know, I mean, it goes on and on. I guess I shouldn't just stop there. But, you know, I mean, Dirk Graham. Oh, well, that was the whole thing. We always talk, wouldn't always, but, you know, Odgers, captain of the Sharks, he fought everybody and lost. Dusty Brown would go. That's why I love a Dusty Brown. Now I'm going to go back to the Arizona guy. At least I remember there. At least I'm not looking up Phoenix. Shane Doan. Didn't even see. Maria can see. I didn't see it. Shane Doan. That was always a good. A Dusty Shane Doan fight is always a fun one. But I think the classic captain on captain fight of all time was always Vincent LeCavalier of the Tampa Bay Lightning versus Jerome Iginla. Both big, young, tough guys. And they fought in the Cup. So that was the Cup Finals. That was a classic. Speaking of which, LeCavalier is banged up. He's on the shelf for the Flyers. But at one point, he was a healthy scratch. That's all you need to know about the Flyers right now. LeCavalier was a healthy scratch. Fun and games. All right. So we always say American Thanksgiving is where it divides. And if you're not in by then, you're pretty much not in the playoffs. But now we'll go to American Christmas, since I think this will air Christmas week. So who is in? Who is in for the East? Who's in for the West? And let's see, wrap them up against my picks of the year. So Chicago right now is on top of St. Louis. Chicago is the best team in hockey. Just look at them. They're loaded. I mean, they had Sharp come back. Imagine the problems. Where are we gonna play Patrick Sharp? Oh, I don't know. He can play left wing. He can play center. I mean, those are the nice problems to have. And no one has four legitimate defensemen. Even their goaltending right now, I mean, you know, they lost Corey Crawford. I'd like to know what concert he was at where he hurt his knee. I mean, if he was at something good, I can understand. If he was like a One Direction, I'd be shaken up. And why isn't Corey Crawford in the box? I don't know. But Ranta has Ranta played good. Wait, let me make sure I get these names. I got so many backup goaltenders in my head. That was a problem. Oh my god! I usually write my notes. Yeah, it was Ranta. All right, it was. I usually have my notes typed, but they're written today. My eyesight is poor. I mean, cross checks to the head when I was a youth, but Chicago's on top, and St. Louis. I think they're in. They're in, and you got Nashville, and you got Nashville right there, and you know, they're sliding a little bit, but not too bad. I mean, the main thing is, can Pekka Rene completely keep it up, and can Forsberg keep it up? Because Forsberg's, you know, he's carrying that team offensively. Not carrying, he's doing really well for that team right now. So hopefully, a second year guy. He's fun to watch, old Phil Forsberg. They're right there. After that, the line right then is Winnipeg is fourth, which is fabulous. If you don't enjoy watching Winnipeg play, I don't think you like hockey. They're big guys, they're tough, and they skate and they hit. And Paul Maurice has them rolling. He has them rolling. So they're in fourth place. Thank God they're a couple points ahead of Minnesota, because, oh my God, I'm gonna fall asleep. Please. No, I don't want to see. You know what? I don't want Minnesota in the playoffs, because I don't want to see Cookie take out somebody for no reason again this year. So the hell with Cookie. And then Dallas and Colorado, they're not gonna make it. They're done. I proclaim them dead. Sorry, Lindy. Come and do puck off in May. You'll be free. Come play Riviera. We'll hook you up. In the Pacific, you have Anaheim a little bit ahead. They're starting to miss Corey Perry right now, though. I know, great teams can overcome, injuries, and they've overcome a lot. They've overcome, missing Perry already for the months. But in the first couple weeks, and they moved Smith Pelly up, doing some different things. Bileski's been hot. But now it's starting to set in, and they're hitting the road a little bit. So, you know, Anaheim's coming. You know, they've lost a couple lately, but they're still on top. Still probably the way that the Kings are playing, probably the best team in the Pacific Division. Vancouver's come back to earth a little bit, but they're still right there. And then the San Jose Sharks passed up a lot of people and are now third place Pacific in the playoffs. I haven't talked about them in a while lately. It's almost because they weren't awful, so we didn't really talk about them anymore. But Pavelski is putting it together. Last week or so, he's playing a little better. Burns is playing better. Marlowe's playing better. And Niemi. It all starts with goaltending. Niemi has stacked the pads well. And we'll see what happens. I think a lot of teams – it's funny. As soon as people go window shopping for who somebody wants, then that team gets hot, and then they're in the playoffs. But I think everyone was like, oh, my – yeah, because I have a lot of Shark friends. And they're like, oh – I'm like, and they're telling me who's on the table. I'm like, I don't want him. I want Pavelski. That's the only guy they don't want to get. No, they don't want to give up. The Sharks don't want to give up Pavelski and Couture, and no one wants the other guys. Well, and Burns. I would love to. Everyone wants Burns. But they're not giving those guys up. They're trying to get too much for Thornton. And Marlowe makes a lot of money. I will speak for the Penguins. I think I'd take a chance with Marlowe. Not a chance, just money-wise, I think I would go after Marlowe. And, of course, as a Kings fan, Marlowe would be great, but I don't think the Sharks would ever do business with the Kings. So that is that. Now, right beneath them, the LA Kings. Now, everyone, we've talked about them a lot. Is the switch going to turn on? Let's hope so. But a trade may be needed. Justin Williams is, his contract is he's a free agent after the season, so I'm thinking maybe Justin Williams go. He seems like a guy that could go. I have a hard time thinking you're going to trade on a team of clutch players, the clutchest of them all, your Conn Smythe Trophy winner. I have trouble thinking that. They're going to trade. I can't see them trading Pearson and or Toffoli. I mean, and those are your young guys. I can see King being moved. I think King can play in a lot of teams. I think Jordan Nolan will be moved. Maybe he'll go play for his dad in Buffalo. But I'm not quite sure who else you can trade. I mean McNabb, who wants him as a defenseman? Robin Riguere, I wouldn't want him. And you're not going to trade Muzz. You're not going to trade Doughty. It's in a weird situation. I mean, it was funny, Richards would probably go to a team looking to get some experience down the middle. That's another guy in Colorado, Max Talbot. Watch when they slip further out of contention. Watch old Max Talbot fall into someone's lap for the playoffs. And Arizona, Edmonton. People are looking at Arizona like, oh, Antoine Vermette. I don't know. He'll probably be a Penguin because I don't want him. And in Edmonton, everyone's up for grabs. In Edmonton, like I said, I don't want Perron. I don't think anyone should want Perron. I think he's part of the problem in Edmonton. He went there, oh, Perron's going to help us matter. I believed it too. I didn't think they'd make the playoffs, but I thought they would have more than 20 points. I mean, that's a disgrace. But as we digress. So in the East, we have Tampa Bay on top of the Atlantic Division. I did not pick them. The captain picked them to make the playoffs. I did not. Still, I'm underwhelmed by them. Still, I mean, they have some good forwards, but like I said, I don't like when you make excuses when you lose regular season games. Just get on the bus and move ahead, John Cooper. But they're on top, and then the next two are the easy ones: Detroit, Montreal. Easy, Detroit's best team, and 5-6 years. Montreal, like I just said, Galchenyuk's warming up. I think Montreal is still a defenseman away from being a superpower, but they have enough talent. They have enough, Bergevin might be the best GM that isn't named Ken Holland in hockey. So they will probably get another defenseman and then look out, because never underestimate Carey Price. Carey Price is gold by that. And then Toronto is in. Toronto Maple Leafs are in, so there's a chance. There's a pretty good chance that you're going to have four Canadian teams in the playoffs this year. It's really good. Who's out of the playoffs right now in the Atlantic? You'll never guess. The Boston Bruins are out as we speak. Or maybe they have the final. It was funny. They might have the final. They think they have the final wild card. Let me get straight on the numbers. Final wild card. Let's see. Because they have. Oh, no, they don't. Oh, Florida is ahead of them. Oh, man. Yeah, Boston has to catch up to Florida. Oh, well, I think they will because I just think now they have Chara back. They're going to start winning games again. I mean, continuously pound them out games. But they are going to have to make a trade. I don't know who they're going to get. I guess they need a couple. You know what's funny? They need the same things that the Penguins need, a rugged winger. But they're looking at the kid. They're looking at Stewart from Buffalo, and I don't want him on my team. I think he's probably playing a little better now because Buffalo's won 6 out of 8. But they can have Chris Stewart. I mean, he's no Iginla, and he's definitely no Reverend Horton Heat, who is still not playing for Columbus. And then Florida. I guess Florida's ahead of them. But so those are your four in the Atlantic, and then your. Four in the Metro right now as we speak. We have your Pittsburgh Penguins, and then once again, a surprise. Not a surprise to me because I picked them to make the playoffs because I love their offseason moves, and I love their superstar, the New York Islanders. Think about this though: the Penguins have their best start in franchise history, and they're only 1 point higher than the New York Islanders. The island is on fire, and you got to love it. Halak is playing brilliantly, and they've had their share of injuries. They just got Cizikas back. Now Grabner's out again. They're playing without Boychuk. Vyznoski came back. They're playing without one other guy. Let me get this straight. Harmonic. Travis Harmonic is out, and he's a big time. Him and Boychuk are big time to not have playing. And they're still winning. I mean, they lost to St. Louis, but they just beat Jersey, and they won another big game this weekend too. But they lost to St. Louis. But you know, hey, it's no crime to lose to St. Louis. Talk about being stacked. They got Tomas Steen. I always call him. They got Steen back, and they where are we gonna put him? Everybody wants to have that problem. But and then underneath those two, you have the New York Rangers, who I also picked in the playoffs. Elaine Vigneault. Well, Nash is on fire. What can you say about Nash? I mean, he's making me look stupid. He's got like 19 goals. He's doing it all. He's even playing a little defense, which I never thought I'd say. And but now Brassard's out with the mumps. And Elaine Vigneault had to blame the Pittsburgh Penguins. Well, why not? We were that franchise is blamed for everything else wrong with hockey, so why not blame him for that? So they blame Brassard is out with the mumps, so he's out like 3 or 4 games. But the Rangers are right there in third. And just right on nipping on their heels is Barry Trotz's Washington Capitals. So, I thought the Capitals, those are the four teams I thought would make it, actually. See, yeah, I'm pretty close. Although I downgraded Tampa. And I put Boston in there, and that's it. Those are my four. 4-4 is 8. But last night against, or 2 nights ago against the Penguins, Bishop got hurt, and they put in Evgeny Nabokov. Remember him from his Sharks days, and then his days of getting lit up on the New York Sound for the Islanders. Yeah, so he came in and then got lit up. Two rookies scored their first goals against him. But if Bishop is legitimately hurt. Tampa could be in some trouble. I don't think Bishop's a good goalie. I just think he's 6'7 and gets in the way of a lot of pucks. Yeah, I'm just not impressed with Tampa. I mean, like I said, they got Johnson, they got Drew, and of course they got Stamkos. And then Callahan's running around a little bit. But other than that, I don't know. I don't think that they're not built for the playoffs. But the teams we didn't mention south of the border, the playoff border in the east, is the Columbus Blue Jackets. Even though they won, that's how bad they started. Even though I think they've won 8 in a row, and Bobrovsky's on fire, they're still below the Maginot line. The Philadelphia Flyers, and the Devils, and the Devils may be the next coach to go. I would not blame him, but I do not blame him for the team not being good. But Lou Lamoriello is always quick to fire the gun, so. We'll see what happens there. Speaking of guns to fire, my own mistake. It was like my bad road trip. I forgot to put Letang in on Friday, just space, because he's not injured anymore. And he scored a goal. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe I forgot to play Letang. Telling my daughter all day, I forgot I didn't play Letang last night. I didn't play Letang. Spaced again. Saturday, he scored two goals. Now, I'm very happy for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but not Team Bartnick in our fantasy report. Whatever you have to say, whatever you have to say about our hockey knowledge, we do play good tunes, Maria. You can say we're full of BS on everything hockey, but where else do you get some old school Traffic and AC/DC? Anyway, because of that debacle, because of my air of my ways of spacing out, and my wife didn't like her. It was my wife's birthday Friday, and she complained about what I didn't do for her birthday, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I didn't even play Letang. She's like, that's it, just like you. More worried about your fantasy team than me, man. And it came back to bite me in the butt again. But because of all that, no excuses. That's just the truth. I'll answer the press conference like Dallas Eakins. I'll take 4 hours to explain why I'm a half a point behind Area 51. So Area 51 goes into the holiday break in first place. He fell a little bit less. He's minus two. I think he came out of minus two. If the Flowers mumps though hurts sweet hands in the league. So we shall see. We shall see what's going on with that. Anything else we got? Let me take a look at the notes. Anything else popping out here before we go away for Christmas? Want to wish Maria a lovely Christmas. Are you going back to Boston? Going back to Boston? You're gonna catch a Bruins game? No, staying away. Sick of hockey. She's like, no, I'm not going to talk about hockey. No, we're done with hockey. And Elaine Vigneault blames the Penguins. Blah, 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 blah. Fantasy report. Yeah, I think we're all good. I think we're all done. I want to wish all of our great fans, and I know the captain feels the same way, Frazier, all of our great fans out there, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We really, really love you guys, and thank you so much for listening. And please keep please like the Facebook page. It's still, I know we have tons and tons and tons of fans everywhere I go. People are like, "Puck off! We love it! We love it!" But we got like it's embarrassing on Facebook how many likes we have. Have your kids like us on Facebook. It really is embarrassing because I have more tweets. Whenever people ask me questions, than I do. And we like per week, then we have like all time likes on Facebook. So that's just a little thing to talk about. But we really do appreciate it. You can tweet me all the time and always hashtag puck off. It's always fun. I just answer hockey questions a lot. We love the feedback, and especially thanks to all the men and women in the armed services out there. You got our backs around the world, so we enjoy all of your correspondence, and we thank you for listening. You guys are out there helping us. And Merry Christmas to, of course, Sean, our great producer, and Roddy, the big boys at the desks, making it all happen. So for me and Frage, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year 2015. Be back big and bold. Thank you for listening to Puck Off.